It's the 24th of April, 2017, and you're listening to Monday Morning Meetings on Migration, a conversation about migration and politics at the University of Amsterdam. I'm Darshan Vigneshwaran. Now, last night, Emmanuel Macron emerged as a frontrunner in the first round of elections for the French presidency, though perhaps the leading story of the night was the success of Marine Le Pen of the National Front Party, who secured second place and an opportunity to participate in the runoff election with Macron in 2 weeks' time. Now, the French results are being read as part of a wave of populist electoral successes in what appears to be a radically redrawn political landscape in both Europe and North America. Here with us to pick through some of these results is François Bonnet from the CNRS in France. Hi, François. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Very good. And how did you spend election night?
With friends, and we were having dinner.
And so I assume you were waiting and following things on social media until the release at 8 o'clock.
That's exactly what I did, 8 o'clock sharp, because in France, the election law says that you cannot have opinion polls disclosed before 8 o'clock so that the voters are not influenced by early polls. The problem with this law is that now with the internet, it's very easily accessible, like this information is accessible on the Belgian and the Swiss media. And so basically those who want to know go on the Belgian and the Swiss websites.
For the nerdy out there, there's always the opportunity to track things until the 8 o'clock release.
Yeah, and at the same time, you know, like everybody says that these indicators are false and they are basically manipulations to produce underdog or bandwagon effects on voters, So anyway, you wait for 8 p.m. and you know the results.
Now, I want you to help us to inform our listeners about the peculiarities of these elections and precisely what they mean in the context of France's distribution of power between its various institutions.
Well, in France is often described as semi-presidential as a regime, and which is not very informative. I think that this election will reveal that the true nature of the regime is that it's parliamentary in nature, because the prime minister depends on the legislative elections, and the president only have so much power when he doesn't have the parliament with him or with her. So that is called cohabitation in French. And so the fact of this election is that Macron and Le Pen are not very likely to have a very strong parliamentary majority after the legislative elections. And the center right, the parliamentary right, is very likely to win these elections. So we'll probably have, whether it's Macron or Le Pen, and it's more likely to be Macron at that point, we'll probably have some type of grand coalition or cohabitation type of government.
So what we could be looking at is a period of stasis or gridlock between these various centres of power.
Well, we have to wait for 2 weeks before to know who is the president, okay? And then there's a month after that, and then there are the legislative elections. And so during that time, nothing really happens. And it's just politicking and electioneering and waiting for final results. When we have the legislative elections, then we know who is the prime minister, who will be appointed by the president, but only in accordance with the majority at the parliament. So if the president doesn't have a political party which is able to have the majority in the parliament, then he has to, basically the prime minister is imposed by the parliamentary majority.
So in many of the major news sources, this has been read as a major win for the right, but I guess you're suggesting something different to that.
So I think that it's fair to say that although the National Front is very happy to be in the second round, it is very unhappy with the result yesterday night, because that result was not as good as expected. in the sense that Le Pen expected to be first and expected and hoped to be above 25% and possibly near the 30% threshold, which might could have, you know, helped her win the election by creating a dynamic that would have been strong and which would have forced the hard right, which is not the far right, like the right wing part of the parliamentary right, to side with her. What happens with this like 21.5-ish result that she got and the fact that she's in second place means that she has very little. She has very little, a very slim chance of making it into the presidency, and she's not. Basically, the campaign has not been very successful at gathering a lot of a lot of voters. Of course, it's the record. It's the highest number of voters. It's much better than what Le Pen did. Le Pen father did in 2002. But compared to recent election results and her expectations, it's not a very good result for her. And it's extremely likely that, you know, with all the caveats, that Macron is elected president. So obviously that will trigger some sort of soul searching in the National Front. Here I'm, you know, like, of course, if she's elected in 2 weeks, I look very stupid. So I'm just basically voicing the conventional wisdom at that point. So the strategy of the National Front recently, for the past 5 years or so, has been to basically have a very right-wing program when it comes to security, to immigration, but a sort of like left-wingish program when it comes to social issues, with defense of the welfare states, defense of civil servants, all sorts of arguments which are designed to attract disillusioned left-wing voters, especially among the poor, especially among blue-collar workers, especially among in the north of France, and so basically you have two national fronts.
And in this process, I guess they've been trying to reinvent the mandate of the political party.
Yeah, basically the idea that if the National Front is only focusing on its core ideology, which is this, you know, like very far right, it's very difficult to describe the ideology of National Front because, of course, you know, like it's collected, there's a lot of people and it has changed over time and so on. But basically the old National Front is mostly in the south of France, mostly centered on like racist tropes against Arab immigrants. They are the heirs of the French Algeria movement of the Pieds Noirs who came back from Algeria and were not happy to have, you know, Algerians coming in France, who work usually. You know, shopkeepers, small business owners, you know, that type of electorate, which can be very right-wing, and the National Front was catering to that. And the new strategy has been to open up to, you know, blue-collar workers, people without a job, formerly left-wing people in the north of France, in the deindustrialized parts of France. And so these two...
It's playing a two-pronged game, both on the left and the right.
Yeah, typically the Socialist Party is not doing very poorly with blue-collar workers. And the Socialist Party is much more the party of managers and teachers than the party of the working class. So what's interesting actually with this election is that Mélenchon has done very well with the working class. And so basically this election is marks a failure for the Le Pen candidacy in that sense.
Perhaps we could use that as an opportunity to move on to a topic that is of specific interest to our listeners. Now, the National Front and Le Pen has, throughout this campaign, launched a series of policies and policy frameworks for managing both refugee reception and migration more generally. Some of the most the topics that have been given the most press are her policies to end legal migration and also to restore French frontiers. Now, what exactly would those policies involve, and how popular are they across the electorate?
Well, there's a number of issues, and they are very different. One of them is the Schengen agreements, and whether we stay in Schengen, we remain in Schengen, or we get out of Schengen, which is a way to deal with one aspect of EU. It's like to get out of Schengen is a way to get out of some unpopular parts of the EU without getting out of the EU, which is a big sell for a lot of voters. Anyway, so she proposes to get out of Schengen, and that's I think it is distinctive in her program. What's also distinctive is a proposal to abolish the jus soli, you know, like the distinction between jus soli and jus sanguine in citizenship laws. And so
Roger Brubaker is not going to be happy with that.
Well, he's I don't think he's very happy about the rise of Marine Le Pen anyway. So that would be the idea. And so to have the jus sanguine as
we're talking here about what seems to be a massive change in the nature of citizenship policy in France.
Yeah, I'm not sure that's the least that's the most unpopular. I'm not sure that's the most unpopular. I don't know. I don't know about, because, and it's also a prime that when you look at specific policies of candidates, you get suddenly very technical, and if you ask poll questions, like in opinion polls, to people about like very specific policy issues, then obviously a lot of people don't have an opinion and don't know about this and that. And so I don't think it's we should make too much of the specific policy proposals, because I don't think that that voters look in fine details about the specific policy proposals. But well, we are educated voters, so let's look at
it's our job.
It's our job. So basically, to get out to abolish jus soli. There's also a number of issues, a number of policies to make access to French citizenship more difficult, like to abolish the automatic possibility for foreign citizens to get French citizenship through marriage. So, which you see where it's going, to make a family reunion not automatic anymore. So you see also where it's going, to abolish double citizenship when the other citizenship is not European. So it's okay to be...
So a French-German couple is fine, but a French...
Malian. Yeah, exactly. There's also the idea of... there's a specific type of health policy in France, which is to grant... basically, universal coverage to anyone who wants it. So, including non-citizens. So, basically, if you have a health concern, if you are, I think even undocumented migrants can access this. I'm not sure about that, but it seems to me that it's pretty wide-ranging health policy to help anyone who wants who seeks medical help in France, and basically there's a controversy that some people, some foreigners, are using this policy to basically get free healthcare, and it's called like medical tourism. So there's controversy about that, and so she wants to abolished that. So she wants to make asylum more limited, of course. She wants to make the, you know, the fact of making undocumented migrants to regularize them. I don't know if it's the word that you use to regularize migrants, but yeah. So she wants to make that impossible, that if you are an illegal alien, you cannot become a legal alien, or okay?
So I'm going to use this opportunity to talk a little bit about Macron himself. Obviously, he's not Le Pen, but he's also not going to be the darling of the liberal left.
Well, he's not the darling of the liberal left. It's actually what he's not the darling of is of the, you know, like strong welfare state left. That's what he's. But the liberal left, liberal in the sense the American sense of liberal, actually is quite, you know, the sort of center left, you know, pro globalization, pro, you know, is very open to. Basically open borders, and so he wants, of course, to maintain the jus soli. He wants to maintain the Schengen agreements. He wants to maintain most of what we do now. What he's proposing as modifications is to make easier for like highly educated migrants to come to France and to have specific policies to find basically talented what he calls talented migrants with all the scare quotes that you want to add, but basically what defines him compared to other candidates is the issue of the Posted Workers Directive 1996.
Could you tell our listeners a bit more about that?
Yes, well, thank you so much, Darshan, for, you know, that my knowledge of European law is so good. So the Posted Workers Directive is a EU directive concerned with the free movement of workers within the EU. And basically it allows someone like a worker from, say, Poland to work in France, but with the legal conditions and the labor laws of Poland. Okay? So what it does is that it's supposed to do is that it is only for like specific concern, limited in time, with specific requirements that French companies have, specific skill set and so on and so on, which allow basically to have workers from less advantageous countries in terms of wage and labor laws to work in France and basically create some sort of, in French we call it social dumping, like a competition of a wage and labor laws. So that's a quite controversial issue, this Posted Workers Directive. With the French electorate. And I think that most of the candidates were in favor of finding a way to abolish or not abide by the EU directive. But Macron was, I think, the only candidate who was defending the Posted Workers Directive. I understand that it's a quite technical issue, but it's actually been an issue that has been much more in the press and in debates than other issues that I've mentioned so far.
And so he's standing out on a limb on that,
yeah,
question.
But like the other left-wing candidates, so Hamon and Mélenchon, they are against the Posted Workers Directive on the basis that it's basically unfair competition and it's a way to lower wages. And So Macron made a stand that he's in favor of the Posted Workers Directive, and of course that's a strong point of contrast with Le Pen, but not that Le Pen had an aberrant position compared to the other candidates.
Okay, so I want to give you an opportunity now to look forward and project these results into the future, and this election has been interpreted from the outside, at least, as a major win for the far right in French politics and representative of what we're seeing as a shift in the political landscape across Europe and North America. How are you reading it from your perspective and having the very brief opportunity to pick through the results from last night?
Well, I think that would be very modest of me to answer your question. But because you ask, you know, I will volunteer, you know, So basically...
Well, for our listeners out there, we're asking François Bonnet, who is a political sociologist, to do advanced electoral politics.
No. So I think there are two things. One is that... obviously, there's a reconfiguration of political parties in France because the Socialist Party is half dead. It got a very small number of votes. The right-wing party, Les Républicains, only is not in the second round. So it's the first time that they are not in the second round forever. So it's obviously there will be a lot of change. But we will also see at the legislative elections what is the real sort of... the real power struggle at the moment, because it seems to me that this presidential elections has been marked by a number of accidental events, which are A, the fact that the right-wing candidate who was supposed to win got all these scandals at the last minute, which eliminated him from the race. Well, he won 19%. But it's very it's possible that if he had not had these scandals over him, he would be in the second round. And I'm sure that he thinks about that all the time. There has been this at the advent of this new candidate Macron, who like a few months ago. Didn't have a political party, didn't have, he had very little to go for himself. And I remember that the consensus among my friends when we discussed the chances of Macron, the hypothetical chances of Macron, we were all saying he's this, centrist, pro-globalization candidate. And we have had a number of candidates like this in France so far, Bayrou, Balladur, Raymond Barre, and so on and so on. And they have all lost, Jacques Delors, and they have all lost, they were all favored by the opinion polls, 6 months before. And then they have done terribly at the real election because you need a political party to win the French election. That was the rationale. And in fact, well, he will probably win, right? So... in that sense, what he has done is remarkable. So it's unclear what we'll do next. And it's unclear how well he will do in the legislative elections. But it's also clear that because he doesn't have a political party, it's very unlikely that his charisma projects onto, the random candidate in the, one of the close to 600 little elections that will take place for the legislative elections. So that's there's a lot of uncertainty over that. What I think is interesting is that we clearly see from a more like general perspective, this opposition in the second round of the presidential election between a basically a pro-globalization candidate, optimistic, happy with how the economy is going, looking forward to neoliberal reform. So that type of candidate against the nationalist candidate, the hard right nationalist candidate. And it's interesting to me that the left is basically unable to provide a counterpoint to these two options. We've seen that. Well, it's difficult to make a comparison with other countries, but you can see how this narrative fits with a number of countries today, that in Germany, for instance, that the left is basically unable to assert itself like the sort of the hard left or the real left, whichever way you want to see it, but is unable to assert itself as a political force that can win elections.
Well, thanks, Francois. We've always wanted with this podcast to take something that is on the surface level of the news at the moment and to ask our guests to take our audience deeper into real research findings and knowledge. And I think you've done that with us today. You've been listening to Francois Bonnet on Monday Morning Meetings on Migration. You can access us at 4mpodcast.com and through iTunes and now Stitcher. You can also sign up for updates through our Twitter and Facebook accounts. If you have suggestions about a story you'd like us to feature or would like to post an audio rejoinder to something that's been said on a previous podcast, please send us an email at imes@uva.nl.